Most successful novelists have a drawer in which an earlier apprentice manuscript is tucked away, yet the novels of Harper Lee are different. Conceived back-to-back in the first 6 months of 1957, but published 55 years apart, both To Kill a Mockingbird and Go Set a Watchman become a kind of Rorschach test for the politics of race in the period that they were published. They are unusual, too, in their paradoxical treatment of one of the most beloved characters in all of American literature, the orienting figure of both novels, the touchstone of decency and goodness himself, Atticus Finch. In Atticus Finch, the biography, Joseph Crispino tells Atticus's story from his origins in the life and example of Harper Lee's father, A.C. Lee, to his evolution in her two novels, his adaptation in the film version of To Kill a Mockingbird, and his public reception during the critical years of the Southern civil rights struggle. The name of the book is Atticus Finch, the biography, Harper Lee, Her Father, and the Making of an American Icon. Joseph Crispino is the Jimmy Carter Professor of History at Emory University, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
What brought you to want to write a biography of Atticus Finch?
Well, I mean, it's a biography in quotations, right? I mean, it's a fictional character. I wanted to write a book about this book and this character, in part because I'm a historian of the 20th century American South and its transition from a segregated Jim Crow society into the modern South. And one of the cultural productions that looms so large in that history is Harper Lee's book. And it's a book that was a phenomenon when it was published in 1960 and made into a movie. And it remains very much present in our culture today in the way it's taught to in our schools and to middle school and early high school kids. And it serves as a kind of racial primer almost for kids about how to, that's one of the first times they learn about the history of racial injustice in this country. And so because of that, I wanted to learn more about it, and I wanted to write something about it. And it was always hard to do, but because there was just the book, and Harper Lee had last spoken about the book in, you know, in 1964, March of 1964 is the last time she gave an interview. But then with the discovery and publication of Go Set a Watchman, it became a whole new ball game for me. And I, you know, whatever you think about Go Set a Watchman as a novel, it's a fascinating historical document, and that's kind of how I approached it, and that's what led me to write this book.
So this is what interested me in your book. And so this was my theory, not original, of course, but just my theory is that Go Set a Watchman was disappointing as a novel separately for me. However, I thought if it was just put into a scholarly work to say this is what came first and this is what eventually it became, that as an artifact, it would, as you say, historical artifact, that it would be fascinating to see how this changed. Is that a proper way of looking at it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when Go Set a Watchman came out, we know now, thanks to some documents that were in the files of Harper Lee's publisher, HarperCollins, I had exclusive use of, we know that Harper Lee's editor, Maurice Crane, or her agent, rather, Maurice Crane, was shopping that book around, and houses were passing on it, and so that was a book that was, you know, it's a first book, and like a lot of first books, there were problems with it. But what's so interesting about it is the way that it gives us insight into her concerns, into her preoccupations there in early 1957. It shows us what she was first trying to do through this first piece of extended fiction that she had written only short stories before this. And this first piece of extended fiction that she was writing, what was she trying to do? What were her ambitions? And then how did that get, how did that evolve as she began writing this second novel? And that's the other thing we learn, importantly, from the HarperCollins materials, is that she always imagined these as two separate novels, but as part of the same kind of narrative arc in the lives of these characters.
In looking at these two works, what do we learn about Atticus Finch? And as your subtitle suggests, and of course, as you write about in great length in the book, the relationship that that has with Harper Lee's own father.
Well, I think we learned this not just from the two novels, but we learned it from the broader research that I've done for this book. And that is that these two different versions of Atticus that we have in these two novels, you know, the idealistic Atticus of To Kill a Mockingbird and the more racist, reactionary figure of Ghost at a Watchman, that both of these characters, not just the idealistic figure, but both of the characters come out of the life of her own father. Because one of the things I've done in this book for the first time is to go back and learn more about her father. And the way I did that is by reading what he wrote. Harper Lee's father, A.C. Lee, as he was called, was, like Atticus Finch, a lawyer and state legislator in the small town of Alabama, but he was also the owner and editor of the newspaper in Monroe County, Alabama, and he did that for 18 years. And it was no guarantee that a newspaper in a small town in Alabama in that era would have had an editorial page, but I went back and looked, and sure enough, he did. And he didn't just have one. He had an active and ambitious editorial page that he wrote sometimes 3-4 editorials a week, and I went back and read all of them. And you could see in that, in her father and what he wrote, the material that would have inspired her to compose both versions of Atticus.
When you say both versions of Atticus, what should be the version that we think of as, because it does get into author intent, right, of what we believe that Harper Lee wanted us, that version that Harper Lee wanted us to know about?
Well, I think what it's important to realize, and what I've discovered over the course of doing this research, is that Harper Lee herself was, through this character and through her fiction, she's struggling to make sense of the changes that are taking place in her native South. This is the other thing that I do in the book that I think is very important, is that you contextualize what she's writing in 1957 and 58 and 59 with what's going on in Southern politics at the time. And so you can match up kind of the kinds of political concerns that she's, because Ghost at a Watchman is very much a political novel. That's the way it was pitched at the time by her editor, is that this is a novel in which, and Maurice Crane writes to the literary houses and says, you know, this is a novel that readers in the North will learn a lot from. They need to learn, you know, the idea was that there are these figures like Atticus Finch who may be members of the citizens' councils, yet they are kind of principled segregationist. And that's kind of that's very much the lesson of that novel. And we didn't, not a lot of people talked about that in 2015 when it came out, but, you know, that's the message of that novel. Is the reader learns what Jean Louise learns over the course of that novel, which is that even she's aghast that her father has joined the citizens' councils, and yet she learns over the course of that Atticus can be a segregationist member of the citizens' council and still be the principled, loving person she knows. But what's interesting is that message that message would have looked very, as she was reflecting on that in 58 and 59, if you kind of track what's going on in Southern politics, this idea that these principled segregationists were going to be keeping down the hotheads and the Klan, which not only Harper Lee was arguing in her fiction, but people like William Faulkner were writing letters to the North in 1956 and talking about this kind of thing, that wasn't happening at all. In fact, it wasn't the citizens' councilors who were keeping the hotheads down in the Klan, but it was the Klan who was radicalizing the citizens' councils. And that was that's an important context of what's happening politically in the South to understand how Harper Lee's message and the way she presents that character might be changing.
You talk about this in your book, about how the character of Atticus changed in subtle ways, but they were significant. when he went from print to the adaptation, the film adaptation of To Kill a Mockingbird. I asked that question in two ways. One, of asking about those changes, but also the concern that was brought up recently with the Aaron Sorkin version that will hit Broadway in the fall, and how careful we are in these very subtle changes and what it tells us about Atticus Finch.
Well, these characters are never, you know, Harper Lee created the character, and she created him first in Ghost of the Watchmen. He changes in To Kill a Mockingbird. But whenever a novel is adopted to a film or to the stage, the screenwriter, the adapter, makes all kinds of artistic decisions that shape those characters and the story in important ways. And you see that in the way that Horton Foote adopted the novel to the screen. He had to invent new scenes that show different shades of the character. There are things in the movie, there are scenes in the movie that are not in the book. And of course, there are lots of scenes in the book that are not in the film, because there's so much that you have to cut out and condense when you take a novel and put it on the screen. But Gregory Peck shapes it too. I mean, the parts in this book where I show how Peck, one of the great documents I was used in research for this book was, you know, the script that Gregory Peck used that's out there in Los Angeles in the Academy Archives, and he's making notes on Horton Foote's script about how he wants to act different scenes. And so you can see through that kind of historical research how the character is being shaped. And of course, you know, Aaron Sorkin will shape the character too, and I think that's what was at, that was what it was at issue in the legal dispute, was to what degree he has shaped the character, altered the story, and whether that remains true to the spirit of the novel. They've resolved that question now, and I'm very glad to see that the play is going to be moving forward. And I'm sure I, like a lot of people, are going to be very fascinated to see what they come up with.
I'm fascinated because Aaron Sorkin is such a good political writer, and you also have Jeff Daniels, who will be playing Atticus Finch, who is such a good Aaron Sorkin actor.
Yeah.
So it should be interesting. Yeah.
No, it's going to be fascinating. And I think that one of the things, you know, the politics of To Kill a Mockingbird are somewhat muted, right? I mean, she's writing in the late 1950s, but the novel is set back in the 1930s. So it's kind of an indirect commentary on what's going on in the civil rights era South. But Watchmen, the politics are much more on the surface of the novel. They're much more right at the heart of what's going on in the novel. And I think Harper Lee was a much more politically minded person than we might suspect if you were only read To Kill a Mockingbird. And so I think all of that gives a lot of grist for the mill for Sorkin and Jeff Daniels.
If you had to vote, I mean, you mentioned it as a historical artifact, but do you think that Watchmen should have been released in the way that it was?
Well, I don't know about if it should have been released. I'm certainly glad that it was released. I mean, I think that it has enriched our understanding of Harper Lee's art and fiction in an important way. I'm glad that it got out there and a lot of people read it and can think about it and try to figure out what she's doing with it. And so whether or not it should have been done in the way it was or when it was done, all those are good questions to ask. But I'm glad it's out there, and I'm glad that we know about it, because I do think it enriches our understanding.
The name of the book is Atticus Finch, The Biography. It is published by Basic Books. Joseph Crispino, I thank you very much for being with us. A great pleasure to have you on the program.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you very much. Again, the name of the book is Atticus Finch, The Biography. It's published by Basic Books. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.